I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Overnight, Pakistani officials announced that the negotiations between the U.S. and Iran will pick back up next week. Iran is sure to be one of the major topics when President Trump meets with Senate Republicans today, especially after several of them joined with Democrats to approve a war powers vote, demanding that Trump end the war. It's almost completely symbolic, but it clearly got under Trump's skin. In a social media post, Trump called the vote poorly timed and meaningless and said that the Republicans who voted for it are, quote, losers. I want to bring in a panel of complete winners. Alex Ward, national security reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Akayla and Leanne, thankfully, are still with us. Alex, I'm going to come back to you because once again this morning, Iran is denying that it's already agreed to nuclear inspections. That's counter to what Trump and Vance have said. So where do things stand with negotiations apparently set to resume now next week?
It's a lot of he said, she said in a way during these negotiations. I think the best indication we have that there will be some sorts of nuclear inspections, as the administration is claiming, is that the UN nuclear watchdog chief, Rafael Grossi, said that these inspections will happen. Now, we still need some clarity on what those inspections are, right? Because Iran, as a member of already an international agreement on nuclear issues, was already getting inspected. The question here is, will Iran allow access to its three main nuclear sites, the ones that the U.S. hit last year in Operation Midnight Hammer? And that's where the majority of the enriched material is. So that's really what the U.S. wants to look into.
Now, that's MSN Now. And I will agree, as the subject they were interviewing, he's with the Wall Street Journal. He is their Pentagon writer and has other duties as well. And he is correct. There is a he said, she said type thing going on now regarding what we do or do not have in an Iran deal. We know what it says on paper, but what's being said behind the doors and where we're really going, that's still being processed. It is not over. And even though it appears to be better for us, and if Iran is, in fact, willing to allow us to have full and unchecked verification, that would be great. But I'm not sure we're there yet. Yet that's what we are hearing from the White House, that they have agreed to do it, and that's the way we'll proceed. Lord, will it be so? Because that's the only way we're going to be able to make sure they're not, once again, tooling up for nuclear weapons. Money is being released, in some cases money that is theirs that we had confiscated, and it's being released in stages when they meet certain performance standards. Now, I hope we hold them to that, and we're allowing them once again to sell oil. It had been sanctioned. No one could buy oil from them. Russia and China did, but they, of course, could care less about our sanctions. North Korea and Cuba are still excluded. But money is beginning to flow into Iran. Now, will it go to help the people? Or will it be used as it has been to build the regime and finance terrorism around the world? I cannot stress to you enough how far-reaching the tentacles of the terrorists are. I've been working on some advanced stories for the story behind the story, and one of them is going to involve that KLM flight that went down over Lockerbie. A bomb inside a radio was put on that flight that originated in Malta, then to the United Kingdom, and then was coming to the USA. And there's a reason that supposedly explains why the Iranian hatred was looking for a chance to kill as many Americans as possible. That'll be coming up in a future story behind the story, which we always now include in the 6 o'clock report. As I mentioned the last hour, tomorrow's story behind the story, the so-called police action, which was really the Korean War. Welcome to Larry Connors USA, our second hour with news, analysis, commentary, and education. You leave this hour with more information than you have when you began listening. That is a guarantee. And later I've got a guest coming up, and I'm not going to say the guest is masquerading, but the premise of the guest is fighting for freedom of the press. Well, you got me. When you're talking about freedom of the press, I'm all for it. But the case they're citing involves a guy that got sentenced to 30 years in federal prison. He was part of an attack on the Prairieland ICE Detention Center July 4, 2025, almost a year ago in Alvarado, Texas. And his wife got 70 years. Now, this guy getting 30 years supposedly for simply trying to spread propaganda associated with Antifa. Standing out there shouting that you hate the government, you hate Trump, you burn the flag. I don't like it, but that is freedom of speech. And freedom of press, if you have pamphlets you're trying to hand out, and now they're claiming that they are damaging to the U.S., maybe under true cases, maybe a fabricated case, I have an interest in it. But I'm going to tell you right now, this interview coming up, I've never interviewed the guy before. I don't know what he's expecting, but I don't just simply take a handout and say, well, this must be the true story and not dig into it. So you might want to buckle up for that interview coming up later in this hour. And as I've mentioned a couple times already today, I want you to hear the story of some horrors a Gulf veteran was going through when he's in a New York State nursing home for vets, specifically put together to provide services for wounded vets, and yet he was being physically abused, and it's documented on video. Only after his wife said, I've got to find some proof to make sure that something is done to protect my husband. That's coming up later. Now, Trump, again, dealing with not only Iran, but has made it very clear that European allies did not come and step in when he was suggesting they could for the blockade. Oh, they held little meetings and they talked about, we'll do this, we'll do that, but they never, never did get past the door in talking and actually commit something. And NATO, of course, got threatened years ago when Trump first came into office. We will pull our money from you and you can do it all on your own if you're not going to be there for us. Well, you know what happened then? The NATO nations suddenly decided, okay, we'll contribute more to NATO, which NATO loved. So Trump, although disguised in the view of the legacy media and even some inside the Republican Party, he's a villain to the world because he wants to withdraw from NATO, he actually made it stronger and they got more money. But in the recent events dealing with Iran, President Trump.
The numbers that we spend are so crazy on NATO, and they weren't there for us. We spend all of this money, and then when we want to maybe have help on small stuff, this is small time. This is not the big one. This is small potatoes. They say, no, we'd rather not help. Stupid thing to say, because we can say that to them if we want, and we might.
And we will. Now, NATO General Root was being questioned by Fox News regarding what Trump said and how NATO has not been stepping forward and doing anything in regarding to help with Iran.
First of all, on Iran as such, let me just say that I think the president is doing exactly what is needed, degrading Iran's nuclear capability. Could you imagine if Iran would get its hands on the nuclear weapon? This is an exporter of chaos. It is an exporter of terrorism. It would be devastating for the region. It would be devastating for the whole world. And if that moment would come where they would get their hands on that nuclear weapon, it is too late. We have seen it with North Korea. So I think the president is doing exactly what is necessary. I'm completely behind him on this. When it comes to NATO, I know there is disappointment. But let's also see these are isolated cases because... there is something more to say about this. Country after country, ally after ally after ally, have made their bases available for Epic Fury. Yep. It means thousands, between 4,000 and 5,000 sorties So planes taking off from European bases to support Epic Fury, and therefore you're being this platform of power projection for the United States. So there's more to this than the isolated cases, and sometimes that gets a bit lost now, I think, in the discussion.
In other words, the NATO general is suggesting that Trump is focusing on the isolated case that we did not really step in as NATO countries and assist the U.S. We mouthed about it. We talked about it. We sat around and bubblegummed it, but we didn't do a damn thing. But he thinks that Trump is just making too big of a deal out of it. Fox Brett Baer questioning the NATO General Secretary, saying, well, I look at some of the reports coming out as to what the other nations in Europe were or were not doing.
Reuters had not our war. This is back in March. The German defense minister, Boris Pistorius, was just as direct as his boss, Chancellor Merz. This is not our war. We have not started it. Echoing Germany's stance, French President Emmanuel Macron also said, we are not party to the conflict. In Spain, Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez was quick to denounce the attacks on Iran as reckless and illegal and brushed off threats from Trump to cut trade with Spain if it did not allow jointly operated bases to be used for the war. This is a Reuters write-up, but you add to that the Italian prime minister who has now had a back and forth about the use of bases in Italy. So the president, I think, is pointing to that, right?
I think so. Yes, you're right. And I totally understand the disappointment. But when you take, for example, Italy, 500 U.S. planes took off from U.S. bases in Italy to support Epic Fury. So this is massive. When you look at the whole of Europe, again, it's between 4,000 and 5,000. A country like Romania, its capital, Bucharest, they had to cut down on commercial air flights and airplanes because they had to use the airport for the tanker facility. So all this is taking place. But what I will do tomorrow in my discussion with the president is not only discuss this, we will also zoom out from this to this bigger picture of what he is doing for NATO. When you look at the numbers of the investments NATO countries are now making in their own defense, it is staggering.
Yeah, well, what they're doing, they are contributing more to NATO, which is what the NATO Secretary General is suggesting, and they are. I want to make note of this because you're going to hear about it from the legacy media that Secretary of War Hegseth fired another top commander. Well, General Christopher Donahue, who leads NATO's Allied Land Command, is going to give up his command July 2nd. That's according to him. Submitting his retirement papers at the request of War Secretary Hegseth. He's been trying to shrink the number of generals, prioritize adding new GIs, and said the nation and Army thanks General Donahue for his leadership of U.S. Army in Africa. Donahue, by the way, is best known as the last soldier to leave Afghanistan in August 2021, ending that 20-year war. That was the moment he stepped on a C-17 cargo plane and was caught in the video, and that was the last soldier leaving Afghanistan. Of course, that also comes after we had that suicide bombing at Abbey Gate that killed 13 U.S. service members, including Jared Smith of the St. Louis area. Whether or not he should be retiring and being removed, I don't know. He is apparently going to have to petition President Trump for him to keep his extra star and whatever he's gained because he's retiring a little bit early, but that's under Hegseth's request. DOJ, of course, is charging California Governor Newsom and wife, and the charges are now beginning to frighten away Democrat support. Fox News analyst Joe Concha.
You look at polling, for example, the last four that I've seen, it's Gavin Newsom trailing Kamala Harris, who isn't exactly, you know, the Caitlin Clark of presidential candidates, by 22 points, 19 points, 17 points, 18 points. And then you hear about these investigations where, again, $340 million in donations from wealthy donors, special interests, some of which receive preferential treatment and millions of dollars in state contracts, all in being propped up or propping up the political political activities of Jennifer Newsom. This Daily Mail investigation, by the way, also another one, found that she was paying herself, Jennifer Newsom was, since 2012, $3.7 million to run this charity. So this smells bad, it looks bad, and Gavin Newsom certainly going the wrong direction, because again, when you have the highest poverty, tax, unemployment rate in the country, and oh, by the way, you've only rebuilt two homes in the Malibu and Palisades areas. There's not a record to run on, and right now there's not a lot of integrity.
Not a lot of integrity. The Department of Justice investigating California Newsom and his wife, all of this because of the couple's personal finances and some of their nonprofits, where she paid herself something like $700,000 a year and more. So a lot of Democrats saying maybe he's too toxic. Well, who do they got to run? Nobody. Nobody. I'm going to tell you later in this hour how the New York socialists turned out to vote in more socialists in New York City. That'll be coming up later. But we are in the midst of our current effort to stop the fraud happening in our nation under leftist leaders, including blue cities and states, and some in red. And in fact, Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche said 450-plus defendants are being cited for $6.5 billion in false claims.
Today, we are announcing federal and state charges, all of which were charged or unsealed at some point over the past 2 weeks, the past 14 days. Coordinated nationwide action. Since June 8th, we've charged 455 defendants across 56, like I said a minute ago, U.S. attorney's offices, and 45 U.S. states and territories. As alleged in the various indictments, these individuals participated in healthcare fraud schemes involving over $6.5 billion in false claims submitted to Medicare, Medicaid, and other healthcare programs.
And Dr. Mehmet Oz, who heads up our Medicare and Medicaid program, adds some additional numbers.
The numbers tell the story. I'm going to give you two really important ones. The first is, in the first quarter of last year, we revoked billing privileges for fraudsters of 1,006 providers. Pretty good result, we thought, at the time. This same period this year, the first quarter, we made 1,400 revocations. That's a 40% increase over last year. So 40% more revocations. We also have patient payment suspensions where we just don't pay the bill because we don't think it's legitimate. And this is impressive. The first half of this year, we made 1,000 Medicare payment suspensions. 1,000. That's a lot of people. Nearly 800, by the way, from one state, California. For a similar period last year, we made 219 suspensions. So a fivefold, 500% increase in payment suspensions because we're using tools now that historically had been used marginally.
Get our money back. Stop sending more of it out. Later, the disturbing story how a Gulf vet was being treated at a veteran's home and a freedom of the press battle. But there might be more under that label. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoons height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gazoons height is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? A women go and men follow.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is Seth Stern, labeled as the Chief of Advocacy for Freedom of the Press Foundation. Seth, welcome aboard, sir.
Great to be here.
Okay, I have several things I want to go through. You got my attention, obviously, when you had notified me that, as I'm reading a statement, I think that came directly from you, I could be wrong, but basically talking about a Texan who was sentenced to 30 years in federal prison for transporting a box of zines or political pamphlets. And you were then quoted later by the Freedom of Press Foundation as saying, if prosecutors claim that Sanchez moved this propaganda because he feared they'd try to use him against his wife, that's a commentary on prosecution's lawlessness. And under the First Amendment, possessing literature cannot be criminal. So you're suggesting he should not have been sentenced for 30 years if he was transporting these to another location. The prosecution claims he was trying to hide them. Let me get your response to that first.
Well, if he was trying to hide them, there's nothing illegal about that because the zines themselves had nothing to do with the shooting at the Prairieland ICE detention facility over which the other defendants were convicted. The zines were political literature. They were years before that protest and that shooting occurred. So I am unclear on how political literature, however controversial it might be, can evidence concealment of evidence of a shooting that happened years after the literature was published. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
All right,
not a crime.
I want to break down the details of the Prairie Land shooting in a moment for the audience, but again, to get a clear understanding of the Freedom of the Press Foundation. Your bill is an American nonprofit organization focused on free speech, freedom of the press. There is an Evergreen Freedom Foundation also operating as a Freedom Foundation. Is that one and the same, sir?
I'm not sure which foundation you're talking about. We're the Freedom of the Press Foundation. Our website's freedom.press. We're a nonprofit organization that protects and defends press freedom and public interest journalism.
All right. Now, to that extent, let's go back to the crime itself that had several convicted for a shooting that took place outside of Prairie Land ICE Detention Center. And this Texan who was picked up for and sentenced to 30 years for supposedly transporting a box of political pamphlets. His wife was sentenced to 70 years because she was apparently involved in the shooting that took place on July 4th of last year. A police officer shot in the neck, and others were also sentenced. What's your reaction to some claims that he was hiding this information because it might indict his wife more, and this was before she was actually convicted and sentenced?
Hello?
Yeah, did you dismiss
did
you dismiss the entire conversation I gave you? All right, we're going to reestablish and we'll go through it again. Again, folks, this has to do with a case that happened on July 4th of last year outside the Prairie Land ICE Detention Center. And as a result of that, the wife was one of those. There were eight sentenced to prison June 23rd, just yesterday, in connection with the fatal shooting of an Alvarado police officer outside that center. We got you back with us, sir?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Now, I was asking you that the allegations, he was never charged with anything to do with the actual shooting. You made that clear a moment ago. You're just suggesting his propaganda material, left, right, or center, should not be a reason to prosecute him and sentence him to 30 years. But the allegations were that he was trying to hide information prior to his wife being convicted that might have exonerated her.
Well, just to clarify, his wife was not actually convicted for having anything to do with the shooting. She was convicted for attending the protest at which the shooting occurred. Only one person was convicted of actual attempted murder, the person who allegedly pulled the trigger. Nobody else is alleged to have had any involvement or been involved in plans or had
she
any
was
foreknowledge
she was
that
to 70,
a shooting was going to occur.
She was
but yes, his
to
wife was
years.
Convicted
okay,
and sentenced
ahead.
To 70 years. My question
basis
is,
of what?
What evidence could he have possibly been concealing by moving a box of zines?
All right.
If he had been moving instructions for shooting a police officer on July 4th at Prairie Land ICE Detention Facility, well, that would be a whole other thing that shows planning, that shows involvement in a crime. But he wasn't. He was moving a box of political literature. So
right.
I just don't understand how that can possibly be a criminal offense. And we've seen a trend, a bipartisan trend, towards finding ways to criminalize possession and transporting of literature. We saw a similar case from the Biden administration when Project Veritas acquired Ashley Biden's diary from a source who allegedly stole it. Now, journalists, as long as they don't participate in the theft, they're allowed to obtain documents from sources, no matter what the sources did. And the DOJ knew that. So instead of punishing them for having and writing about what's in the diary, they attempted to investigate them for transporting it again across state lines.
All
claiming
right.
that they were moving stolen materials.
I'm not going to disagree
with you.
Wait, it's not a monologue. It's an interview here still. I'm going to accept several of the points you stated I would agree with. And I'm a great defender of freedom of the press. But I think it's important to point out to the audience, and I'm reading a quote that's been given you. You can tell me that this is wrong, but basically you have stated, saying, I'm Seth Stern, Director of Advocacy, talking about President-elect's inauguration a week away. That was his first time. And he said the last time he won the presidency, we at the Freedom of the Press Foundation were alarmed by what might happen, especially for journalists from the bully pulpit. And you also pointed out that since his first term, Trump has called for journalists to be imprisoned and raped for not revealing sources. Where did you ever hear him say journalists should be raped?
He gave a speech where he said that journalists who refuse to identify their sources.
Where?
It's been reported by several news outlets. I don't know the physical location. You can find video of it. You can find video of it. But anyway, his statement was something to the effect of journalists who don't identify their sources will think twice when their cellmate wants to be their boyfriend. You can find the clip. The strong implication was that when faced with the prospect of being sexually assaulted in prison, journalists would go ahead and out their sources.
All right. Now, you clarified it by you said it was the implication of rape. That's what I was trying to get you to clarify. He did not call for rape, but you're suggesting that's what he's implicating. You're entitled to that opinion. You are pointing out again that He's fantasized about a mass shooting of journalists. I obviously would be against that, but again, I don't know where he's talked about that either. Can you give me that reference?
I don't know which document you're referring to.
I'm referring to the statement you made, so I assume you had a reference for it.
Well, I've made a lot of statements. I'm not sure which one you're talking about. I'm sure that I can. We know he's called for assaults of journalists. He's called for violence against journalists. When specifically he called for mass shootings of journalists, I don't remember. We've got a database of statements he's made threatening the press that is a mile long. Just the other day, he threatened to imprison a reporter for touching his reflecting pool. It is very hard to keep track of each and every anti-press tirade Donald Trump goes on. But, you know, yes, we've said a lot of stuff about Donald Trump. We weren't kind to Joe Biden or Barack Obama either. You know, we are equal opportunity haters of censorship and now, retaliation against the press.
So I would agree with that. So in that freedom of press, which certainly I'm in favor of supporting it, but there are times that I don't want to support it because it goes against me gut and heart and everything else, but it's still inside our Constitution, that freedom and that liberty.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of bad journalism out there, no disagreement for me on that, but it's impossible to protect the good journalism without also protecting the bad journalism. You know, everyone likes free speech when the speaker is on their side. Everyone likes censorship when they get to choose the censors. So that's where we're coming from. Yeah, some days I turn on the news and I watch some really bad journalism and I think, why am I devoting my life to protecting these people? I hear you there. But again, if we want good journalism, we got to protect bad journalism too.
But do you not slant your view when you start saying these things about Trump and saying that we thought it was bad and now it's just doing, it's even worse, he's going for low-hanging fruit and suggesting that he's trying to persecute members of the press just generally?
No, I think we're calling it like we see it. I don't think we're slanting our view. Trump has taken some unprecedented steps against journalists, and we've been hard on his predecessors as well, like I said, but there are some things Trump is doing that nobody had done before him. Nobody before him had weaponized the FCC the way he has. Nobody before him had attempted to deport somebody for simply writing an op-ed. This is new stuff, we're calling it like it is.
Well, obviously, we don't have time to go through case by case, but I appreciate you reaching out to me and giving me your view, and we'll probably engage again in the future, sir.
Sounds good to me. Appreciate you having me.
You bet. Seth Stern, Freedom of the Press Foundation. You can look it up, check it out yourself, see what you like or don't like about it, but I wanted him to have a chance to make his explanation very clear. Now, again, that shooting that did take place, 30 to 70 were involved in the detention center riot or incident. Only one person fired a shot, killing a police officer, but several got convicted. Now, coming up, before we wrap up the hour, the abuse of one of our Gulf War veterans.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold remediation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
Not a yes, sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, thunder.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We've created over 32 now. Think of this, 32,000 new jobs just starting in Pennsylvania alone. David, you have to get credit for that. And in the last few months alone, we've added 2,600 Pennsylvania manufacturing jobs, and that number is going to go much, much higher as the factories start to open.
Those, of course, the words of President Trump as he was speaking in Lehigh County, Pennsylvania, at a Mack Trucks facility, how they are going to create 32,000 new Pennsylvania jobs, including 2,600 manufacturing jobs. And, of course, he also wanted to point out how much more they're making now because of the largest tax cuts in American history he signed last 4th of July.
Thanks to our great Republican majorities in Congress, last 4th of July, I proudly signed the largest tax cuts in American history. We gave you the biggest tax cuts in American history. Not bad. Not bad. We delivered no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, and no tax on Social Security for our great Pennsylvania seniors. No tax. And our tax cuts are projected to boost take-home pay for Pennsylvanians by an average of more than $10,000 a year per household.
But I thought the economy was shattering and falling apart. Having some rough times, inflation up. Yes, it is. Gasoline prices, though, still well below where Biden was. We'll come back to that later. I want to share something with you very quickly. Do you recall the high school senior who was charged and then convicted? In fact, he'd admitted setting a sleeping homeless man on fire on the New York City subway last year. He's 19 years old. He's been sentenced after he pled guilty. And the sentence is distressing in many ways. The prosecution, and again, we're talking about in New York, so I'm not really sure how hard they wanted to push for prosecution. I have no basis to say that other than just the general malaise that's in New York. It has to do a lot with what happened in the New York elections yesterday. I'll come back to that as well. I'm always keeping you hanging for one more thread of information. Yes, I planned the program out, but I got so much to get to you. I'm trying to deal with every tentacle you have on an octopus and even more, trying to touch everything I want to put in front of you. But back to the senior convicted of killing this homeless man. The prosecution had stated he attempted to kill a sleeping homeless man by burning him alive, leaving him trapped on a moving subway car, and the crime was separated from murder by mere chance. I do not understand that statement. It was obviously murder. And he says, the prosecutors say it was separated from murder by mere chance. I don't get it, but here's what the sentence was. The judge gave the 19-year-old a prison term of 5.5 years in prison. 5.5 years. And we're told that that is 6 months longer than the mandatory minimum for arson, but shorter than the 8-year maximum that the federal prosecutors were asking for. So there are federal prosecutors involved in this as well, because it was transportation. This guy with a 5.5 year sentence could be maybe freed, and well, since it's a federal prison, he may have to serve the full 5.5, but that does not make up for setting a sleeping man on fire. But then again, what happened in New York City yesterday is appalling. But before that, something that truly is appalling and shocking. This involves a Gulf War veteran, Albert O'Toole. He was at the New York State Veterans Home in Montrose. His wife was getting more concerned about bruises on her body, on the body of her husband, his declining health. She set up a hidden camera and then called a staff aide physically assaulting and striking her husband with a broom and anything else he grabbed. Now, just listen to the audio.
You can see he was obviously hit with something.
That's when Sangro decided to secretly place a camera inside his room.
Everything about this video is awful.
Never imagining it would record.
It looks like a nightmare.
This. The video, now being shown publicly for the first time, begins with O'Toole's longtime aide yanking food out of his hands. Seconds later,
he picks him up by his neck and throws him in the chair, and then he forcefully pulls him into the chair and punches him in the side of the face or the neck.
Moments later, the video appears to show the aide striking O'Toole on the head with a broom before forcing him back into a restraint chair. At one point, O'Toole can be heard crying out in pain.
Ow, ow, ow. You hear him screaming and nobody comes to check on him. Where are the other aides?
Sangro was crushed.
I don't know how I missed it. I was there every single night.
According to this felony complaint obtained by the Turn to Tara team, the aide seen in this video is Matthew Cox. He was arrested in April, accused of grabbing the victim by the neck, forcefully restraining him, and striking O'Toole inside the state-run home. Now, while the state health department told us Cox was put on leave and later fired, a VA spokesman confirmed Cox remains employed by the federal VA pending the outcome of the case.
What? He's still employed by the federal VA pending the case resolution, which should involve criminal charges? The Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary Doug Collins is immediately initiating federal removal proceedings to get Cox out of their facility. But he's now at a federal VA facility in a non-patient capacity. The video is evident. It's very simple to find if you want to see it. That would be go Google search, however you want to do it, for veteran abused at a New York veterans hospital. Now, what happened in yesterday in New York? New York City Mayor Mondami had waded in boosting three progressives over established back candidates. All three of his progressive candidates won, defeating two incumbents. Senator John Fetterman, Pennsylvania, Democrat, says this is a warning about the rise, and I'm quoting him, of dirtbag leftists. He said that when they can win and run and beat Democrats who are actually mainstream Democrats, to use his quote directly, he said, This has just become really, it's just the dancing days of the dirtbag left. Some of these candidates are outrageous. You have candidates, they abolish ICE, they abolish the police, and abolish the border. He said they defeated incumbent Democrats that he admits were, in his words, Fetterman, the kind of people trying to run properly. Good, traditional kinds of Democrats you would expect in New York City. They're ousted by these leftist dirtbags. I don't disagree with his remarks. And I'll give you another example. In the interview we had earlier, we were talking about what happened at a federal detention center back in June of last year, or rather July of last year, at Prairie Land in Alvarado, Texas. And one of the officers was shot. Eight people were rounded up and charged, including a guy that was supposedly hiding pamphlets and information. That was our whole discussion with my guest, and it was a little contentious, but I think there was some information that came out of it as well. His wife was sentenced to, he, by the way, was sentenced to 30 years because he was, according to the prosecutors, concealing records in a box of belongings that might have indicated his wife was involved in more than what she was. She got a sentence also for being involved in the assault on the detention center. I'm glad to see we're going after these folks. I do have questions, obviously, when it comes to freedom of press. So I had to concede some points to my guest in the last hour, points that I had to disgustingly admit I will have to defend under the Constitution. Doesn't mean I like it, but I support our Constitution. One of these who won her bid in the New York State Senate following Mondami's endorsement is a Palestinian-American activist. And she made it clear that Palestine was on the ballot. No, Palestine was on the, not on the ballot. She was. And she's supporting something that has never existed. There's never been a state of Palestine. It's a figment of the PLO. And they know that. Images on social media showed her wearing a headband worn by Hamas terrorists. The very ones that went into southern Jerusalem slaughtering Jews, babies as included. And then you got Rashida Tlaib talking about this detention center issue down in Texas. She said, these accused anti-cell members sentenced to decades in prison, one of them handed a 100-year prison sentence, the maximum, handed that yesterday after being convicted of attempted murder. He shot Alvarado police lieutenant in the neck, a bullet to the neck. Original reports, some reports suggested the officer was killed. He was not, but he took a bullet to the neck. And seven other suspects involved in this North Texas Antifa cell participating in the demonstration outside a Texas immigration facility all got 30 to 70 years for their charges of everything from providing support for terrorists, conspiracy to use weapons, explosives, and rioting. But Tlaib, a progressive lawmaker associated with a squad, said the sentences are a travesty, totally unjustified. Americans hate the fascist Trump regime, so the only way they can try to cling to power is brute force. So they think it's okay to shoot a police officer or a member of ICE in the neck. That's acceptable because you're upset with Trump. Now, my guest, and I quoted a statement he had made, and he was could not immediately identify that particular statement. Well, it's on his release that he sent out. I don't know why he couldn't, but he was entitled to take whatever defense statement he made. He is the director of advocacy at the Freedom of Press Foundation. It is a nonprofit defending press freedom. He wanted to stress that. But he said, we were concerned about Trump the first time, even more concerned the second time. since Trump has called for journalists to be imprisoned and raped for not revealing sources. But he could not give me verification of that. I haven't had time to check it out. And he could not bring it to the front immediately. He said, but there are numerous reports. Well, I'm sure if you look into some leftist agendas and publications and sources, you're going to find that kind of stuff. But even he admitted that he does not always like what he sees in the press, although he did not identify if we're talking about conservative, liberal, or just mainstream press. You missed the interview? You need to pull this program up, hear the podcast, hear it in its entirety, and then share it with your family and friends. Of course, the left does continue to shout that Trump is ruining us. Our nation is in economic peril. Trump's response, check the gasoline prices.
The average price of gasoline nationwide is down 60 cents a gallon just from a short while ago. And remember this. Remember this. We had to make this detour. We had to go to Iran. You can't let them blow up the Middle East and then us, if that's possible. We would have gotten them before, but they would have blown up Israel. They would have blown up the entire Middle East. Can't let that. You want to see a bad economy? That's a bad economy. So, but remember that our oil in the middle of this conflict was less than it was for sleepy Joe Biden. And this, and we're putting out a fire. Biden, Clinton, Bush, all of them. Barack Hussein Obama. Have you heard of him? Have you heard of Barack Hussein Obama? None of them did anything. Obama gave them $1.7 billion in green cash. Remember, on a 747, they flew over piles of cash. $1.7 billion, gave them hundreds of billions of dollars and thought they could bribe them into peace. No, the only thing they understand is what these guys in the front row understand is the hammer.
He was speaking in Pennsylvania at the Mack truck facility where they're going to be retooling up to build more Mack trucks, employing more Pennsylvania residents. I want to point something out to you again. I'm watching yesterday the beginning of the World Cup between Panama and Croatia. And as the cameras panned across each of the players and their national anthem was being played, their heart was over their, I should say, their hand was over their heart, and they were singing, vocally expressing and praising their national anthem. First Panama and then Croatia. We need more of that in our countries. And many of them who are visiting here for the first time are admiring our country, rightfully so. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.